We are starting our daily learning in the book of Mishlei. We got up to chapter 4, Perek Dalet in the book of Mishlei, up to Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Very, very beautiful and important lesson. Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Haser mimcha ikshut pe ulezut sfatayim archek mimecha. Remove from yourself any kind of negative report. Meaning, if you see something that you're doing that can be interpreted in a negative way, make sure you avoid even that. Or as they call it, sort of in modern languages, any appearance of something that's inappropriate, stay away from. That is the lesson that King Solomon teaches. Now, the theme of Mishlei is very often connected to that of a path. King Solomon is speaking about the path we're on and how to stay on that path, the path of righteousness and the path of wisdom. And so he continues, Pasuk Chaf Hei, Einecha l'nochach yabitu. When you're on a path, a key element is to keep your eyes on the path, to stay focused and keep your eyes on the path. So Pasuk Chaf Hei, Einecha l'nochach yabitu. Always look in the direction of the path and make sure you stay on it. And you should always stay looking directly to see that you're staying on this path. Now, there's a very important concept in Judaism, and that is the concept of being careful with a small commandment as you are with a big commandment. Sometimes people like to set sizes to mitzvahs. They're like, well, this commandment is a big one, this is a small one, I'm going to skip the small one, I'm going to do the big one. But you never really know which is a big mitzvah. You never know which is a small mitzvah. They're all important, they're all precious. And so he says, "Pales ma'agal raglecha." Always calculate, always make sure you are planning exactly where you're going to be at, what you're going to do. V'chol drachecha yikonu. If you plan, if you have the foresight, if you look at what you're doing, then your ways are going to be established. Always look at where you're going. Always make sure that you are traveling in a way that's calculated, planned, and thought through. Al tet yaminu smol aser raglecha mera. Do not go right. Do not go left. Always stay on the middle path. And so important to note here, The Rambam's famous golden path, which is often attributed to Aristotle, the idea of the middle, the golden medium, staying on the middle path. But really, it's here in the book of Mishlei so many times. Shlomo HaMelech says, do not go right, do not go left. And Maimonides says that it's a mitzvah from the Torah, mitzvah mideoraita, to always stay centered. So if you go to the store and you have the option of buying something very, very cheap that's not going to look great, and something very, very expensive that's ostentatious, it's a mitzvah from the Torah to actually go in the middle path. Get the thing that's in the middle. If you have an option of being extremely compassionate or extremely strict, be thought through. Don't be compassionate to the extent that you lost your judgment. And don't be harsh to the extent that you lost your compassion. Always take the middle path. Even when it comes to eating, you should not go to any extreme. You shouldn't overeat. You shouldn't undereat. You should not, whatever it is that you're doing, always look for the medium, the golden path that's in the middle. Do not go right. Do not go left. Remove your leg. Remove your feet from that. Now, another important thing here is making calculations. There's a concept in economics called an opportunity expense. Meaning, when you spend $100 on something, you're not just spending $100 on that thing. You're also not spending that money on something else. So you have to think, when you spend $100, A, is it worth me getting this item? And B, is it worth me sacrificing not getting the other items because I spent the money here? Same thing has to do with your actions in life. When you spend your time, remember, is this worth wasting my time on this, or maybe I could be doing something better. If you invest your energy in something, ask yourself, is this something I want to be spending my time on? Or maybe there's something else that would be more meaningful. Always do everything with a calculation. Solomon is urging us, make sure, palis ma'agal raglecha. Make sure you calculate, make sure you think through, make sure you establish where your footsteps are going with thought and discernment. Now we go to Perek Hey, chapter 5, and this is really a chapter that's also very well known, and you'll see soon, very, very, very blunt in its presentation. Pasukei, bni lechokhmati hakshiva letbunati hat oznecha. My son, listen to my wisdom and to my insight. And it's interesting. Again, King Solomon, whenever he speaks in terms of my son. He always says, listen to me, my son, because he's always speaking to a person with a sense of trying to help. A person cannot listen unless they know that you are there to help them, unless they know that you're there to give them valuable insight that comes from a caring place, that comes from your heart. Shlomo always says that, my son, always with care. Lishmo mezimot v'dat sfatecha imzo. He says, if you listen to me now, you'll be able to be thoughtful. You'll be able to preempt others. You'll be able to be ahead of the game, being contemplative and knowing what's about. Now he goes to the next analogy, which is going to carry us through this chapter. The analogy is, imagine someone who's married, has a beautiful marriage, and everything's going well, and their spouse is very faithful and kind and gracious, and then a strange woman comes to seduce the person in this relationship. Imagine that. Now, the idea is to see the balance of the short-term temptation and the long-term destruction. That's what this analogy is all about. The person is living in a beautiful marriage. Everything's going well. They have a faithful, beautiful wife. And yet, they're being tempted by someone who's going to come and go. They're going to come into their life, and they're going to leave. Leave so much destruction in that person's life that it's going to be regretted. Shlomo HaMelech compares Avodah Zarah to this seductive one-moment woman who's just going to come and go, and by the time she's gone, his life is going to be completely destroyed. So that's what he compares, the temptation of Avodah Zarah, of to this situation. Pasuk Gimel, chapter 5, verse 3. He nofet titofna siftei zara. The lips of the strange woman, this seducing woman, titofet nofet, they're dripping with compliments, with sweetness, with good things. V'chalak mishemen chita. And her stomach is smoother than oil. What you need to understand is Pasuk Dalid, V'acharita mara kela'ana. Yet at the end, you will find yourself with a situation more bitter than any bitter herb you can imagine. And how many times have you seen this news? Someone who has a beautiful marriage, a beautiful wife, a beautiful family, and yet they destroy all of it for one moment's temptation. V'acharita mara kela'ana. It is sharp as a sword, not just a sword, but a cherev piyot. A cherev piyot is a sword with multiple edges. One that really, when it strikes, it really kills the person and ruins and hurts hard. And so we're saying here, v'acharitam mara kelana, the end of this situation is going to be as bitter as la'ana. It's going to be as bitter as this very, very bitter herb. Chada kecherev piyot. It's going to be as sharp as a deadly sword. It continues, Pasuk Hey, Ragleha Yordot Mavet, the feet of this, the woman who's pulling you away from your faithful wife, it's Ragleha Yordot Mavet. She will drag you all the way till death. She'ol tzadayit mochut. Her footsteps are going to take you all the way to the complete abyss. And this is true both on the real level and the homiletical level. We said the book is called Mishlei. There are multiple levels. These are analogies, they're stories, but they are true on more than one level. So on the one hand, King Solomon is teaching here a lesson that is applicable to a man in a marriage and warning him of the destructiveness of temptation. On the other hand, he's also speaking about Avodah Zarah, the idea of heresy, of idol worship, saying this is going to completely take you away. Her feet are taking her down to death. She'ol tzadayit mochu, and they take her completely to the pasuk vav. Orach chayim pen tefales, orach chayim pen tefales. Now ma'aglotea lo teda. If you want life, you should do it in a way that's calculated, that's thought through. If you want to succeed in life, King Solomon says, make sure you're doing that in a way that's thought through and going to give you a reward. However, if you just float around, if you do things haphazardly, you don't really think things through, then you will be in you'll be in a bad situation. So now the question is, what should a person do not, you know, when faced with this temptation, what should a person do not to be destroyed by temptation? But before we continue, there's a very noteworthy Rashi here. Rashi on cites the Jerusalem Talmud. There's something called the Jerusalem Talmud, and it was actually not written in Jerusalem. It's called, so it was not written in Jerusalem. It was written in the northern part of Israel, the area near Tiberias, the Golan Heights. He cites this lesson and says, why doesn't God tell us which mitzvah counts more than other? Right? In continuation to what we said before, why doesn't God tell us, you know, this is a mitzvah that ranks really high, you should give it priority. This is a mitzvah that is, you know, a bit less serious. And why didn't God do that? And so, Rashi cites this lesson from the Talmud Yerushalmi and says, "Silsel HaKadosh Baruch Hu matan scharan shel mitzvot velo pirshan." God hid the reward of every mitzvah and did not explicate it, not make it clear why. Because kedei shelo yireh adam mitzvah shematan scharan merubeh v'idbakla. Because that way a person is just going to go for the big mitzvah and take it, ve'yaniach shaar mitzvot. And then they're just going to toss the rest of the mitzvot. So in order to avoid the mitzvot of the Torah, God made sure that you didn't know exactly which is worth which. Now you may wonder, well, why is it? Like, if really one mitzvah is worth so much more than the other, then why is it that God hid this reward? So I'll say a few things. First of all, the idea of mitzvot is like a mosaic. So many mitzvot are most meaningful in the context of other mitzvot. So of course, every single mitzvah has its individual reward. However, the beauty of the mitzvot is the tapestry of the mitzvot. The 613 commandments combined, that is what brings really beauty to the mitzvot. That's one thing. The other thing is, we know there's a concept that says, Lefum tzara agra. In Pirkei Avot, the rabbis teach that the reward is according to the pain and the effort. And so, the idea is that every mitzvah really can be a major mitzvah. If it involves effort, if you put in If usually giving tzedakah for a very rich person is not so difficult, but you made sure that you really took your extra wages that you earned with great difficulty and you gave some of them to the poor, that is so much more rewarding. So the idea is that God doesn't necessarily explain all the mitzvot, is also because a small mitzvah can have a tremendous reward if done with effort, with sincerity, and with genuine desire to do Hashem's will. There's a very famous commentary of Maimonides, the Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, the great doctor of the king of Egypt, and he says as follows. The Talmud says, "Amar Rabbi Hananiah ben Akashia, ratza Kadosh Baruch Hu lezakot et Yisrael. God wanted to reward the Jewish people. Lefichach hirba lahem Torah mitzvot. Therefore, he gave them many Torah mitzvot." Maimonides makes a statement that throws all of his contemporaries into a tumult, and he says the meaning of this is that whether it's a small mitzvah or a big mitzvah, the only way a person can reach Gan Eden, can reach the world to come, is if they do a mitzvah with absolutely zero ulterior motives, only the intention of doing God's will. That's the only time a person will get rewarded really fully in Olam Haba for a mitzvah. And he notes that it's possible that a person may only have one of those in his life. So rare is the notion that we would do a mitzvah for absolutely no intention other than doing God's will, that Maimonides said we needed 613 mitzvot, 613 commandments in order to 613 commandments in order to make sure that maybe perhaps we'll get one of them exactly with the right intentions that we need, with the intentions of purity and sincerity. So that's another reason why God did not tell us explicitly which mitzvah is worth how much. That's why God didn't say, okay, this commandment is a very big commandment, you get a lot of reward for that. This commandment is a small commandment, you don't get so much reward to do that mitzvah. So that's the idea of God not telling us exactly which commandment is worth more than the other. And so Shlomo HaMelech says, Orach Chaim ben Tefalis, always make sure when you are conduct yourself with wisdom. That being said, I'm not going to tell you which mitzvah is worth more than the other. Now he continues, Pasuk Zayin. V'atavanim shimuli v'atasurumim maybi. My sons, now listen to me and do not abandon my instructions. Stay away from the one who is trying to distance you and tempt you. If you're in a marriage and this person comes and tries to seduce you and completely destroy everything you have, be very careful. And the rabbis learn from here two things, both on the literal translation and the homiletical translation. One, the rabbis say that if a person passes next to a place of impropriety, a brothel, a place that's really dedicated to immorality, then not only are you not allowed to be there, but you're not allowed to even go within four amot. You're not even allowed to come close to it. Similarly, the rabbis say if there's a house of avodah zarah, a place of worshiping idols, you cannot even come close to it. You cannot come within four amot of the door of a place that's dedicated to idol worship, to avodah zarah. So this pasuk has both a literary meaning, but also a legal meaning, a halachic meaning, which is stay away from it because it's really not something you should even be close to. Don't even come close to the house of avodah zarah, of temptation, because that's gonna lead you to what it says in the next pasuk. Because then you may give others your glory and your years to the cruel one. Thank you so much for listening. We're here every day between 12 and 12:20, the book of Mishlei, Sunday through Thursday. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll be here live tomorrow between 12 and 12:20. Thank you everyone who joined us. You should be blessed with a good week, a happy week. Only good things for you, for your families. Be'ezrat Hashem.